Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are hungry. Blessed are you who weep. But woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who are full. Woe to you who laugh. You know, I don't think I particularly like Luke's version of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. I think I prefer the version over in Matthew's Gospel where it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who mourn and weep, for they will be comforted." I think I prefer Matthew's version because it pushes away its impact just a little bit from me in terms of its judgment, in terms of its call to recognition of our own participation in the reasons for the pain, for the loss, for the hunger. And yet that's the real problem, isn't it? So often we don't want to hear about the woes. In fact, Matthew's gospel leaves the woes out here. Blessed, yes, but the woes are not there in this way. Jesus here in Luke's gospel balances each blessed for woe. Blessed are the poor, woe to the rich. Blessed are the hungry, woe to the full. Blessed are those who mourn, woe to you who laugh. And our society goes entirely against this message. It says, blessed are those who are full. Blessed are those who are rich. Blessed are those who are always having a good time. Just take a look at television. Take a look at the media. Realize that is what our society, our culture today celebrates. A message of success. A message of fullness. A message of joy. At the expense of recognizing the needs of those around us. Just look at the political season. Yes, we're coming, thank God we're coming to the end of yet another election season. But it seems as though in politics these days, the objective is to try to get people to switch from being blessed to being woers. Who can bribe the voters the best? Seems to be the objective. Who can hypnotize the voters the quickest with the most promises for the most goodies for themselves? Seems to be the objective. I'm reminded of a joke. Three people get up to the pearly gates in heaven: a building contractor, a pastor, and a politician. And unfortunately, they can't get in. Peter says to them, "I'm sorry, gentlemen, but the pearly gates are broken. You can't come in right now." The building contractor takes a look at the pearly gates and scratches his beard and then says, I'll work to repair them. I will work and I will repair them for $10. $10, says St. Peter. "Well, $5 for my labor and $5 for the parts, okay?" All right, well, St. Peter thinks about it for a moment and then turns to the pastor and says, "What about you? Can you fix the pearly gates?" And he says, "Yes, for $15 I can fix the pearly gates," says the pastor. "That's $5 for the church's building fund, $5 for the Board of Global Ministries Disaster Relief Fund, and $5 to make up the budget shortfall on my pension fund. How about that? $15. St. Peter shakes his head at the contractor and shakes his head at the pastor, then turns to the politician and says, "And what about you? Can you fix the gates?" And he says, "Yes, I can, but it'll cost $125. $125, Peter says, "Yes. That's 50 for you and 50 for me. And for 10 bucks, I can get the building contractor to repair them. And for 15 bucks, I can get a pastor to bless them. $125. Can't beat the deal. What's in it for you and what's in it for me?" Our society teaches us, go for the gold and ignore the rest. Our society teaches us, be in competition and hate those who oppose you. Take a look at our political season and you'll see hatred being thrown every direction. And yet, what did Jesus have to say about that? Love your enemies. Love my enemy? I don't wanna. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Huh? Bless those who curse you. Huh? Pray for those who abuse you. Huh? This is a prescription for getting beaten up, hated, and abused. I can remember my dad. He used to say, he was an electrical engineer, and he was actually a research engineer. He developed lots of wonderful technologies, and he had some rather unsympathetic administrators who worked in the business end over his research teams, and he used to get so frustrated with them. He said, you know what? I wouldn't get mad at them. I wouldn't curse at them. I wouldn't do anything. I just pray for them to get promoted out of my hair. And then the day came when that actually happened, and guess who got their job? My dad. And he had to do all that administrative work that he hated rather than hands-on research and development. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Where has that been during this election season? Not just amongst the politicians, but amongst the people who follow the politicians. Where has that been? If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. I haven't seen that on CNN or ABC News lately. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. There's no qualification here. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Oh. Wow. Well, Jesus, this is really hard. Are you telling me that to be blessed, I've got to do these things? And if I don't do these things, I'm woed? Yes. Do unto others. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Well, if you watch the culture and the society and the media, you would think it was do unto others before they do unto you. That's what we're taught by the world, but not by Jesus. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who are hungry. Blessed are those who weep and mourn. Why? Because, as Jesus says clearly, yours is the kingdom of God. You will be filled, and you will laugh. For in God, in the presence of Almighty God, there is true peace and fulfillment. There is true celebration in the kingdom of God. There is true laughter and rejoicing, not artificial, not superficial, not fleeting with this life, but eternal. There is a true change that comes when we live in the presence of God. And there's a true change that comes when we know that presence of God in our midst, and we can see that true change of God in those wonderful saints who've gone before us into glory everlasting. Well, I don't know very many saints. Well, by their own generation, we don't know any. We know some extraordinarily good people, but in truth, everyone who is blessed to be a representative of Christ in this world is so because of the love of God in them, because of the grace of God in them, because they have been blessed. Having been hungry, they have been fed by Christ. Having been poor, they have inherited the kingdom of God. Having been sorrowful and sad, they now rejoice in the presence of God. I can't be perfect. This description that Jesus gives here, loving your enemies, doing good to those who hate you, blessing those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. Jesus, this is a very tall order. There's no way that I can do this. The world says I can't do this. The world says exactly the opposite. What in the world? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Are you crazy, Jesus? We can't do these things. But the saints do them. Blessed are the saints, because they do these things. Not by their own strength, not by their own ability, not by their own nature, but by the love and presence of God in their lives. And we thank and praise God for that. And for the witness and the example that they have been, continue to be, and forever shall be, of the love of God that was to theirs and is now ours. Yes, we live in a world that teaches the opposite of the gospel. Yes, we live in a world that teaches us the opposite of what Jesus calls us to do. And that is why we live in this world. To demonstrate, as by precept and example, a different way of life. A way of life that the saints lived before us. And some of those saints, both personal and those in the Bible, some of those saints, you know, we know that they lived lives that were not absolutely perfect in this life. Of course we know that. One of the biggest saints in my family's history was you have talked about her many times, my great Aunt Lucy. We called her Witchy. This woman was very saintly in many ways, but she was also, she loved to have fun. And she loved to engage in politics. And one of her favorite friends was a man by the name of Jack, as in Daniels. And yet she was the most liberally outgiving person I knew. A prayer, a giver, and a person who loved others without limit. A person who would give you the shirt off her back. A person who would pray for those who persecute you. A person who would love her enemies and did. We all know examples of people like that. People who had their foibles, had their little messes, did those things they probably shouldn't have done, just like we do. But deep down inside resided the love of God. The love of God that touched not only them, but every person that they touched. That's who the saints are. The word agios, which is Greek, which we translate as saint, means to be set apart. Literally was used for anything that was set on the altar to be used by God. That was what was agios. That was what was sainted. Holy. The saints, our beloved ones who've gone before us into glory, these saints have been placed on God's altar to shine forth the love of God for all. And we will feast on the source of God's grace that they feasted on. And we will celebrate in all eternity with them at the altar of God. And we will come to know the glory of sainthood that they live now into all eternity. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Tall order, Jesus. One that we don't see in the world today. Yes. And by our own strengths and abilities, we cannot do it. But by God's grace, indwelling in us through the power of Christ, God can do it through us. As you come to the table of the Lord today to receive Holy Communion, to partake of the Blessed Sacrament, know the infusing, empowering love and grace of God. Be touched by His eternal hand. And know that as you partake, you are partaking in the midst of the communion of all the saints, all those who have gone before us, all those who will follow us into glory everlasting. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I invite you to take your bulletins and join with me for the confession of sin and pardon. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you. Forgive all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, God of Abraham and Sarah, God of Miriam and Moses, God of Joshua and Deborah, God of Ruth and David, God of the priests and the prophets, God of Mary and Joseph, God of Paul the apostle and Stephen the martyr, God of our mothers and fathers, God of our children to all generations. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave the bread to his disciples, and said, "Take this, all of you. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave the cup to his disciples, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of the faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with all your saints, especially those whom we name before you now with our lips and in the silence of our hearts as we offer a flower in remembrance of them. As each name is mentioned, as voiced here, family of those mentioned or voiced may come forward, take a flower, and place it in the vase on the altar. Jean Ward. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, strengthen us to run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. By Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. As our Savior Christ has taught us, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Alleluia. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of the First United Methodist Church in Commerce, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2016 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information and for other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 1709 Highway 24, Commerce, Texas, 75428. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.